You're listening to Ian Stone's Comedy Breakfast, the podcast edition. I'm here on Love Sport Radio every weekday morning from 6:30. This morning, I was joined by the former Palace and Charlton midfielder, Paul Mortimer. The Premier League is, four teams in the two European finals. First time it's ever happened that a European league has had all four teams in the European final. Is this just about money, by the way? And by the way, I know that two of the teams, I know that Spurs haven't spent any, Arsenal haven't spent a huge amount, but there's been an accumulation of money over the years. And is it finally now going to be the case that the Premier League will dominate for a while?
Yes. Well, if you look at it this way, forget the people at the top. I imagine if you look at all the other leagues, are there any teams in those leagues who, from their second divisions, can be promoted and spend £100 million?
Wolves is a good example, because actually, and it, have Fulham did
and
as Fulham. Well.
If you look at all the other teams in Europe, all the other divisions in Europe, all the other leagues in Europe, I would say that they can't do that. The financial resources, and it's not just about the top four or five. If you look, like you say, down the Premier League, if you look like for like in all the other leagues, they have nowhere near the money that the teams in the Premier League have.
The top two in Spain obviously are loaded.
Yeah.
In Italy, Juventus have more than anyone else.
PSG
have a lot of money in France.
It's a country.
But it's spread along.
Yeah.
Whereas the top six in the Premier League have a bit of cash. And further down, Wolves can spend a bit of money. Leicester can spend a bit of money. West Ham, you know, there's some wealth.
Fulham spent £100 million. Yeah. They got promoted and spent £100 million. I can't think of another team in Europe that could do that.
But these
come
things
from the division below.
You're right, but these things do. They are cyclical,
yes,
aren't
they?
I mean, we remember, what was it, 2007, 2008, around that time, when there were three English teams.
That's right.
In the Champions League semi-finals. And we all thought English teams are going to dominate. And you looked at it, three in the quarterfinals, four in the quarterfinals, three, four, through the seasons.
Yep.
And then, for whatever reason, and it wasn't like there was less money washing
about. It was a barren spell. Just weren't good enough.
They weren't good enough.
The others were better.
So why is it likely that we'll maintain this level this time?
I think because of the resources. If you look at Manchester City, for example, let's say the top of the tree, they're just far better resourced than any other team. And they've got two good squads. And that is where teams are going.
Yeah.
You know, they're stockpiling the best players. They've now realised that how important Europe is, how important being successful on all fronts is. You know, Man City were going for the quad, weren't they?
Yep.
You know, and most teams will start doing that. In order to do that, you need to have a big squad that can prioritise certain competitions. You know, teams have the Europa League squad and the Premier League squad and what have you. You're going to need money to do that. You're going to need money to do that. And, you know, I think this, with the financial aspects, a TV deal and what have you, you know,
it's only going to continue for the moment. And it's not like, I don't feel any great feeling of rejoicing that Spurs and Liverpool have made the Champions League final and Chelsea have got to the Europa League final. I'm pleased that my team made the Europa League final. I don't like, yay, Premier League. I couldn't give a monkey's. I like watching the football from around the world. If it's good in Spain or good in Italy or good in France, I'll watch that.
Do you know what? Yeah, I mean, if you look at it in context, three of the four semi-finals could have gone either way. One of them, the Arsenal one, I think, apart from a 10-minute spell, they were going to win that. You couldn't say that for the other three.
No.
Chelsea was always going to be, I said it yesterday, it was always going to be a tough one. The other two were coming up against starting with deficits.
Yeah.
So, and they were miraculous.
We could have ended up with one finalist out of four.
So,
and then when nobody's talking about the domination of the Premier League.
So
this particular year, we've had a bit of luck. Things have worked out for the best. Spurs have nicked one in the last minute and somehow won. Liverpool have come back from 3-0 down. Yeah, one or two you would expect. Four is certainly unusual.
It's brilliant, but see, the thing about it is we're looking at the outcome. Four in the semis, four in the finals, not the journey. The journey really tells you that it's been a lot harder. You know, it looks like we're dominating. I'm not so sure we are.
Let's just point out, unless people have forgotten already, that Liverpool lost all three away games in the group. So, you know.
And Spurs, look at the way they
started. Spurs only just scraped through as well. And here we are. So. Spurs, by the way, got spanked by Barcelona in the group stages at Wembley. And now they're in the final and Barcelona aren't. Let's have a chat about Chelsea last night. Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea were a couple of spot kicks from suffering a shock semi-final exit to Eintracht Frankfurt last night. And the manager admitted he was too nervous to watch both of Kepa's penalty saves.
Oh, to be honest, I didn't look at the last two penalties. So I didn't know if Kepa saved very well or not.
OK, well, let's have a chat with Ben Rebuck, who's a sports presenter and Chelsea fan. Morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Morning. Were you nervous watching, or did you watch them?
Yeah, I watched them. You know what? It's gotten to that point in this season where, you know, I just had that feeling that something's bound to go our way. And we'd won one penalty shootout against Tottenham this season. A lot of people around me at the bridge last night, they were very, very nervous. And I was like, there's nothing to be nervous about. We're already in the Champions League. This competition is, you know, merely a pride at stake competition. And I had a good feeling that we'd win when it went to spot kicks.
Right, okay. And I mean, how did they play? Eden Hazard, possibly his last game, probably, I guess, his last game at home for Chelsea. Was he in good form?
He was absolutely awful. One of the worst performances from him I've seen in his 7 or 8 years at Stamford Bridge. It really was as if he'd been told that they're not letting him go in the summer and he was throwing a strop. It was bizarre. You know, in those types of games, he's the player that we look to and we rely on. And, you know, obviously he'll get the plaudits for stepping up and taking the winning penalty. But he just wasn't at the races at all. And, you know, so many times when he's not at the races, Chelsea just don't perform. And I think that was one of the major issues yesterday. And, you know, he's been playing brilliantly recently. So it was very, very weird to see him playing like that. He, you know, all of his passes went astray. His runs were... or he was getting tackled every single time. It was very, very odd to see. And I was saying, you know, I was with my dad last night at the game, and I said he really looked like someone who had been told that he's not going to be allowed to leave in the summer.
I think one of the things, Ben, is you have to give credit to Frankfurt. That they played well. They made it. I always thought, I said it on the show yesterday, don't discount them. Everyone thought Chelsea would stroll to it. That was always going to be a difficult game. And what happened with Chelsea was they didn't start at a fast pace. They looked like a team who were 3-0 up and just trying to get through the game. They never really changed gear. And once you start that slowly, it was very, very difficult for them to raise it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, credit where it's due, Frankfurt were brilliant last night. And they really do deserve to be in the final over us, especially over the two legs. I think, you know, we missed a host of chances in the first leg, which kind of meant that the game was still on yesterday. And as you say, you know, 1-0 up and... it was as if we were 3 or 4-0 up. The players didn't have that final little bit of bite or that little bit of edge which made them really want to go out and win it. So it always looked like it was going to go to penalties. In fact, it looked more like we were going to lose throughout the majority of that game yesterday than that we were going to go to the final.
And there was a bit of booing when Loftus-Cheek got taken off.
Yeah, it was quite toxic, actually. I've not really seen that before, but... I have to be honest, I was one of those that stood up and, you know, questioned the manager's decision-making there. You know, you've got this really great young player who's been playing at the peak of his Chelsea career so far. He scored the goal. He scored over 10 goals this season now. Yeah. And he's taken him off in a game we need to win and keeping on a player who is on loan at the club. No goals, no assists all season. And it was just bizarre. Surely Loftus-Cheek and Barkley in that position, you know, they're both far more attacking. Kovacic doesn't really offer much to the team or to the game. So I think people were a little bit frustrated with that. You know, it goes to show that Chelsea fans are really behind blooding in these younger players, blooding in these homegrown players. You know, it means a lot to us because we've got so much slack and stick all the years for this loan policy of, you know, you're just going to sell them and the De Bruyne and the Mo Salah and the Lukaku situations. You know, Chelsea fans are sick of that and we want to see what we consider our players playing. And, you know, Kovacic isn't one of our players and he doesn't play very well. So to see him kept on, it was very frustrating.
I agree. It was bizarre because me and my boy were watching it and it was almost like, you know, you walk out the room, come back, Loftus-Cheek's off. He must be injured. I thought he was injured. I thought he's Loftus-Cheek. He must be injured because he was playing well. He was the one player who understood the pace of the game. Kovacic, I feel sorry for because it hasn't worked. He hasn't looked a player. I'm not quite sure what he is. And because he's the English players seem to always come off for him, he gets the grief. But Sarri is making mistakes there.
Yeah, look, I don't think I wouldn't say Kovacic is getting grief. I don't think it's really to do with him per se. It's more to do with the point that I made earlier that we want to see these players playing. And, you know, we've got Kovacic in on loan. I have a horrible feeling that Madrid are going to somehow try and ship him off to us as part of the Hazard deal and, you know, make more money that way or give us less money that way. But he's not very good. You know, he looked a real bright spark when he started his first few games and we thought, ah, we've got a great little player. But I think at the end of the day, if you're not getting into that Real Madrid team, there's a good reason. If they're happy to let you go, there's a very good reason. And we started to see it.
Thank you, Ben. See you in Baku.
Yeah.
Ben Rebut there, sports presenter and Chelsea fan. He didn't sound totally sure he was going.
No.
I mean, there are some issues.
I'll tell you, you have to save up some serious money.
There are no direct flights that week. Oh, I'm sure the clubs will lay on charter planes.
They've got to look after the fans.
It makes very, very difficult.
They've got to look after the fans.
It's also the fact that each team only gets 6,500 tickets.
What a joke
it doesn't that really is. Make any sense when it's in a 60,000-seat stadium. Who's going? Is this Europa League final being put on purely for the benefit of the Azerbaijani people?
Hold on, you've got to say to me, 60,000 all see ya, 12,000 tickets go to both clubs.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a lot of tickets that are going elsewhere. That's far too many.
That are going to end up on the black market and costing proper fans of clubs who've already paid over the odds for the flights way more than they should.
You have to remember,
get into the game.
As you know yourself, being a fan, it's not just the final that you've paid for going away. You've been away all season long, home and away, and you know, in Europe. So it's not just the final. You should be looked after when it comes to the final.
If you're travelling home and away all around Europe and all the rest of it, you can get your spending close to $7,000 or $8,000, I would have thought, and the clubs often don't help.
This is Love Sport.
I don't see City slipping up. Do you?
I've seen Brighton recently. Apart from, you know, the draw at Arsenal. No, I cannot see Man City.
They're obdurate.
Man City would have to have two players sent off, be on a bad day. I mean, you've got to look at Brighton at the moment. You know, Brighton's form. They've not won in the last five games.
It's not about winning. It's just about stopping City
winning. I understand that.
And I watched Brighton at Spurs. I watched some of it. And they got in the way and made it very, very difficult. If they turn up there...
Man City have just so many weapons. And that's the thing. You look at Spurs, they'll come from certain areas. If you look at Man City and you look at how many of their players are in or near double figures in terms of goals scored, there'd be at least half a dozen.
Do you know what? I'll tell you what I think about Brighton. When they turned up at the Emirates the other day, and I said I thought we'd win. I thought Arsenal would win. And the reason I thought we'd win is because we lost to Palace the week before.
Yeah.
Lost at home to Palace. And that was a disastrous result. But in the end, Wilf Zaha was on his game, made it very difficult. And they have got some dangerous people up front. Brighton don't really have that. So I thought, even if we mess up, we'll probably do enough to beat them. But the truth is, they made life incredibly difficult. Chris Hughton is a decent coach and knows how to set up a team.
Yeah.
And they will make life difficult.
They will make it difficult.
And not to forget, by the way, that City played Brighton in the FA Cup a couple of weeks ago, and City won 1-0, and that was a hard game. And Brighton could have nicked that.
Yeah.
Could have nicked that.
I think Brighton will make it very, very, very difficult. I just think City just have too much. I think you're going to have to catch City on a very poor day. That's for them. I'm not saying about scoring, for them not to create chances.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the thing. If they create enough chances, they're going to score. One thing you know is, you know, I don't think Brighton will create as many chances. I don't think they will.
No.
You
know? All right, fair enough. I mean, that being the case, if Man City do win, that does really make the other game, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think that's the tougher game, Liverpool-Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool at home to Wolves. Wolves obviously been excellent against the top six this year, and they will give Liverpool a game. And Liverpool, I mean, I can't really... I'm amazed by this Liverpool team, how they keep going and going and going. Mm. And they've won... I mean, aside from the Barcelona game, they've won about 10 or 11 on the trot, haven't they? Really? And they won that tie. They've been astonishing. If Liverpool can go to the well again and beat Wolves, I'm sure that the Anfield will be in a great mood.
They'll be back at it, mate. The Anfield will be back at it. I mean, the thing about it is, because what they're going to have to do is hold their players because, you know, they'll be listening to Man City. Man City go two up, for example, early doors. They're going to still have to hold their players, and by that I mean really support
them. Yeah, because the crowd will let them know,
exactly,
won't they?
Exactly right.
If you hear a roar going round Anfield halfway through the second half, if Brighton equalise or something,
exactly.
Then that's... But the thing about Liverpool is they have managed to focus on the game that they've got.
They've been brilliant, and I'm not talking about the players, I'm talking about the fans here, because if early on... Because you hear the murmur. It will transmit to the players. Yeah. So it's important that the fans, even if they're acting, they have to keep going. They have to, just like they did the other night. And I think that's because they know their football. And I think that's what they'll do. But Wolves will be a difficult proposition because they seem to relax against the top teams. Whereas other teams play survival football. We should be here.
They like playing against those top teams because they like sitting back and absorbing and then hitting them on the break. Yeah. Man City against Brighton, Liverpool against Wolves for the title at the weekend.
Love sports.
Danny Baker got sacked by the BBC yesterday by Five Live. Done a regular Saturday morning show, has done for a long time, 9 to 11 on Saturdays. And got sacked yesterday for tweeting. He did a tweet with two posh people and a monkey in between them, a chimp, in fact, in a suit. And it said,
and a
bowler hat and cane, a ridiculous looking chimp in a suit. And it said, raw baby announced, right? Or raw baby leaves hospital, I think it was. Look, first of all, he spoke to Sky News yesterday, amongst loads of other news outlets. Let's hear what he had to say.
I've seen these things happen to other people. You never think it's going to happen to you. And the unconscious and ridiculous tweet I did yesterday has spurred all this off. I must have been a little surprised by it because my attitude towards it, and we'll have to ask people to indulge it, is Occam's razor. Sometimes the least sensational or most obvious reason is the reason. And when I say to people, I saw Royal Baby Archie, made a joke about Archie, and then I thought, oh, my go-to photograph when posh people... you know, walk out or have kids, went to that stupid photograph of a chimp in a top hat and shouldn't have done. And when people said, that's Megan's, you tear it down. Oh, no, because I'm well aware of the centuries-old trope linking race and primates.
Did you think about it, though, when you were doing it? Did you not think about
not racist? Otherwise, I'd have to be some kind of slavering secret racist, I promise you. Nobody invites this onto themselves. No, I had no... idea until somebody about it had been up about 8 minutes. Somebody said, Dan, that's Megan Watson's bike. down. People say, you must know she was ever. I know she is. But the House of Windsor these days, apart from the old firm, I genuinely didn't. And I genuinely, no one in their right mind would have put that grotesque, diseased mind image. I did. But I did it because I didn't know it was Princess Sasha's father having a kid. But once it's explained, of course this all happens. Once that was explained, of course it happens.
All right, that was Danny Baker talking to Sky News yesterday. I haven't seen a lot of support for him from black people and people of ethnic minorities, right? I just haven't. I mean, I haven't. I've seen some support from comedians and mates of his and what have you. But very little from the black community. This is not a surprise, right?
It's not. If Danny Baker was my mate and I'm a black guy, I wouldn't be going on social media. I'd be ringing him up and cussing him. I'd be ringing him up and making him aware because he has been around TV and radio and all of that for years. And I've always loved listening to him. He's been on the cutting edge of things. He knows. He gets it. He understands. That was my impression of him. What always gets me is how people respond to this. And initially, you know, his response, the diseased mind thing, well, you know, if I was thought like that, I'd have to have diseased. All of that, what he didn't do initially was own it. You have to own what you said. That is what you put up there, you have to own it. You can't sit there and go, I didn't know, you know.
Why can't you sit there and say you didn't know?
I'll tell you why. This is the first, as far as we know, a royal mixed race baby. Okay? You know that. I don't care what anyone says. If he says to me he didn't know that, I'm sorry, I'm not having that. I'm not believing that.
I'm only asking you this. It's not about knowing. We talked about the Raw Baby in here on Tuesday or whatever it was. Maybe it was Wednesday. We've had a couple of days where we were chatting about the name. And at some point we spoke to a Raw correspondent who said, this is the first biracial, is what he said, right? Whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah. Mixed race. First mixed race baby.
Yeah.
Now, it was weird because up to that point, I hadn't even thought about that because Megan is very light-skinned and I don't... It doesn't even occur to me that she's black, right?
Yeah.
I don't even think about it in that way. So I can well believe that Danny wouldn't have even thought about her in that way. That being the case, and I'm just
yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from.
You know, going along with it. That being the case, that is an entirely innocent tweet, is it not? If he doesn't think about her in that way, and he said he doesn't,
I believe him.
He doesn't pay attention to the rules.
I can see what I can totally see what you're saying, and I totally understand what you're saying.
Totally honest mistake.
When you see that the problem that I have with all of this is. We go back over the years when these things come up and the first thing everyone says is, it's a totally honest mistake. I didn't mean it. I didn't think. And that is the link, that is the theme with every single one of these that happens. When are people going to stop saying, it was a totally innocent mistake. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I didn't... Because, you know, we've got to start moving with the times and understanding. Especially things like this, because this is in the public eye. This is, you know, a royal baby. If you're going to tweet something about that, okay? Now, I don't know. For me, if I was mocking all that up, it'd take me a good 5 minutes. That's just how I am, all right? At some point during that, before I actually tweet it, send it, I'm thinking.
He certainly didn't.
Where's
think.
This going? But you see, when you're someone like him, who I think is witty, is like all of you comedians, witty, very quick. I watch you. Your mind is always working. You're always quick. You've got to weigh things up, mate.
I'd have seen that one.
That's what I'm saying.
I would have seen that one.
I've been around you enough to know how you work. And I know that, hold on, I've got, because what you're also looking is ahead. I'm going to say this, but what impact is it going
to
have?
I mean, to be fair...
He should know better.
To be fair to Danny Baker, right, he's not... One, I don't think he's a racist. And by that, I mean, if he was a racist, I think that we'd have heard about it before now.
See, the thing about it is, when people say racist, okay, sometimes in their head, they have an idea of what a racist is. No. It's racist behaviour. That's what it's. Don't put the racist to one side. It's racist behaviour.
All right, well, this is, as far as I can tell.
That's what this is.
All right, okay. Well, this is the first time that I've ever heard Danny say or do something which would constitute racist behaviour.
You've got to own it.
Yeah, okay. But isn't that a bit weird in someone who's 61?
Well,
I mean, not weird. It's just...
Stoney, all you can say is that you know of.
Yeah.
That you know of, because every single person is capable of that. It's that you know of. Some people aren't even aware that their behaviour is. So
I mean,
it's what they know. And so he has to be careful. You put a monkey,
I know.
Two white people,
it doesn't look
holding
good.
A monkey.
It doesn't...
What? Come on. Take Megan out of it.
It doesn't look
two
good.
Two white people holding a monkey. Ask any black person if they are going to be offended. And you know what? Just put that picture up.
I see it.
What are the connotations that come from that picture?
Can I just...
Come on, man.
Can I just defend him slightly as we're talking? Basically, he's always used monkeys...
I'm just taking my bowler hat off.
I see.
he's that always, was my cane.
Yeah, he's always...
it's a bit warm in here. Let me take my coat off.
Can I just say about Danny?
Yeah.
He has always used monkeys and chimps in his conversations of rich people.
Yep.
It's nothing to do with black people.
Yep.
It's rich people. That's like a regular trope that he uses.
Yep.
And so...
He got it wrong this time.
He absolutely got it wrong this time. And the fact that it's the first mixed race baby and it's Meghan Markle...
What a way to get it wrong.
2 days after she had the kid.
Yeah, exactly.
He messed up.
The world is watching at this moment in time.
He messed up.
Look at the newspapers. There's 52 pages so everyone knows. There's pictures of the grandparents. One of them is black.
One of them is black.
Come on.
He didn't listen. He didn't think it through. There's no getting away from that.
How many times are we going to have that, though? Because at some point, we have to start becoming more aware of the implications or the impact that what we do has. Can't keep saying, didn't think it through. Innocent mistake. Because for me as a black guy, I look at that and go, if I had a penny for every time someone, I heard someone, you know, say something that I found offensive, and then their excuse wasn't to own it, it was to, oh, I wasn't thinking, oh, it was an innocent mistake. How many times? Because I look at it as a black guy, right? And if I, there are times where I'm actually not angry, but people will look at me and say, I've got a chip on my shoulder. You get defined a certain way, okay? And it gets kind of irritating. And this is the type of thing for me as a black guy that irritates me. I would rather someone actually say, do you know what? I thought it was funny. I actually thought it was funny. I got it wrong. Rather than, oh, it was an innocent mistake. No, no, no. You knew what you did. You got it wrong. You offended someone. Hold your hand
up. That's what I was saying. It was a non-apology apology.
It wasn't even an apology. And that's the thing. And that, for me, that's what I hear far too often. That's why I said to you off air, what I look at is not the act. It's the response to the act. It's how they deal with apologising or acknowledging their error or whatever you want to call it. That's what tells me what they understand about the offence that they've caused. Because if they own it and go, do you know what? I realise now that that was a huge mistake and I'm really sorry about people I offended. And do you know what? I am mortified by that. But no. I listened to what he said, and he alluded to the fact that anyone who thinks that that's what I thought, their mind must be diseased. So he's not even taking responsibility
himself. Well, no. He actually said, and we will have a break in a second, but he actually said that I didn't think about it in that way because I don't have a diseased
mind. Yeah, exactly right.
But you know what's interesting about that? And sorry, we will have a break. But what's interesting about that is the fact that I don't think he even thinks about Meghan as black.
Yeah.
I think that's a positive, don't you? What I mean is that it's pure colour blindness there. It's not, in a way, right, that when the black guy got off the train at Highgate, and we were talking about this, I didn't look over there and say, oh, there's a black guy getting off the train. I just went, there's a guy getting off the train.
Yeah, that's right. Now, but you were squinting because you couldn't see straight. The thing about colour blindness is it's the single biggest thing that irritates me, because if you don't acknowledge the colour, you don't acknowledge the difference. You don't acknowledge it. You are different from me. I should be celebrating that, not ignoring it. If I don't see the colour, I ignore what you're about.
Right.
And that's why when people say, I don't see colour, that's a problem for me. Because, you know, I'm black. Because whenever anyone says it to me, I go, you know, I'm black, don't you? And they go, so, you know, I'm black. Yeah. So you can see colour, can't you? Sort of. Well, then. Don't say you don't see colour, because you do. And that is okay. It's all right to say we are different. It's your behaviour in and of that dictates where we are.
This is Love Sport.
A glorious week for English football. Four Premier League teams in the two European finals. Never happened before.
Brilliant.
Never happened before.
Brilliant.
But as Guillaume Balague was on another radio station last night talking about, well, come back to us when you've won a few more European trophies. Because out of the last 30 European trophies, Spain have won about 22 of them. So I think they do have, right now, they have bragging rights. But that is certainly going to change a little bit. There's going to be English winners of both major European trophies come the beginning of June. Paris has come into the studio with the front pages. Danny Baker, of course, plastered on the front pages of quite a few of the papers. What else you got, Paris?
I can't believe there's another radio station, Ian. Yeah. No one's told me this.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Is it the rule that we have to basically not mention anyone else at all?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, there are other radio stations. Obviously, why anyone would want to listen to them tolerating their racist behaviour, that they did.
I was taken into another room and conditioned to only know that there was one radio station. Anyway.
There's only one sports radio. We know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go on.
Well, anyway, I thought we'd chat a little bit about Freddie Starr, who has passed on. He's died.
There's quite a famous old black and white film where somebody says that. He's passed on, and Robert Newton, who played the original Bill Sykes in one of the Oliver films,
right,
Robert Newton, said, he's not passed on, Mother. He's not passed away. He's died, all right? She goes, oh, you. It was all a bit like 1940s Britain. But I just, when you said passed on, that's what it reminded me of. So anyway, Freddie Starr has passed away, died.
He's died. Yeah. I mean,
76.
The Sun have gone, kind of, he's on their front page because they're kind of saying, you know, famed for lots of funny stuff, but we probably, they're trying to take credit for his fame by saying, Freddie Starr ate my hamster, that headline.
That's right, Freddie Starr ate my hamster, which is basically an ex-girlfriend of Freddie Starr, his ex-wife, basically complained because Freddie came home and said, can you make me a sandwich? She said no. So he basically apparently got the hamster and ate it. But he didn't. He didn't do that. He said he's never eaten a hamster or a guinea pig or a gerbil or anything even closely related to that. He didn't do that. But he was a bit madcap and crazy. But that, I think you'll find, was an act.
Yeah,
that was an act. I know.
What?
That's what we do. We go on stage with a persona.
Are you saying stand-up comics are lying to us?
I'm not even Jewish. I just make all that up. I'm a Muslim. But I thought the Jews are funny. We'll give that a go. But
you're wrong, you know.
I tried the black stuff. It didn't really work for me.
I wonder why.
Yeah, no, it's weird. I don't know. But anyway, Freddie Starr used to come on. What I liked about Freddie Starr, what did they say in the papers? Sorry.
No, well, it's talking about a lot of his routines. One of them kind of, perhaps maybe a product of his time a little bit, where one was impersonating Adolf Hitler playing football.
Fabulous. He used to come on in shorts, remember, with the German hat on.
And the shorts with the swastika on.
Yeah, and the swastika on, playing, and he was Hitler. And honestly, I have to tell you, right, I mean, Paul has been talking today about Danny Baker and what that means to black people, right, when you have the chimp thing and all that stuff, right? And there's ways of doing these things and there are ways of not doing
exactly
these things.
Right. Exactly.
Now,
right.
the thing that Freddie Starr did with Hitler, I can tell you right now that my whole family, some of whom had lost relatives in the Holocaust, found it hysterical because he made Hitler a figure of fun. Yeah. He made him look ridiculous. And I never minded. I mean, it was a bit racy for 1976, only 30 years after the Second World War. But you have to laugh at this stuff. And I was never bothered by it. I never saw Freddie Starr in the same way we saw Jim Davison or Bernard Manning.
That's right.
He wasn't. Freddie Starr was just madcap. And he looked crazy. He looked crazy because he was a little bit crazy. But I thought he was pretty funny when he turned up on the TV.
It's simple as that. And you hit the nail on the head there. You look at Bernard Manning and Jim Davison, people like that. You kind of saw a certain thing in them. Freddie Starr was just nuts.
Yeah.
And anyone laughed at him. It didn't matter what came out of his mouth. It was designed to make you laugh.
He was wearing Wellington boots, shorts with a swastika on, and a German officer's cap. He looked ridiculous.
Wellington boots and the shorts.
Yeah, absolutely nuts. How can you be offended by that stuff? It's possible they wouldn't let him do that now, right? It is possible. But you know what? I found it funny at the time. And I think every Jewish person I know found it funny. So anyway, rest in peace, Freddie Starr.
Wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever found, a colour of clothing that suits you? You know, have you gone through multiple different phases and gone, well, actually, I quite like how this looks?
Do you know what? I'm not really the best judge of that. Sometimes I'll put some clothes on and my missus will go, what are you wearing? What? But for me, I'm told that I don't do very well with, you know what I don't do well with? A sort of, mustard. Mustard.
Oh yeah.
I find that, you know what? I think it works with darker skin.
It does, but I'm not a fan of it. But I know exactly what you're talking
about.
But
mustard doesn't work for me. I look too pale.
I'll send back the mustard jumper. If you could,
that'd be nice. I did have a really nice yellow jumper that I was really proud of, and I was such a sad man. I got it. I was only about 19, 20. I got this yellow sort of jumper, and I used to go to people, feel the jumper.
What?
I know. Anyway, I was young. I was stupid. What do you do? Why? Have you got a colour you like?
Well, no, I just. The Daily Mail, on top of the pulse of what Britain's talking about, are so pointing out the fact that Prince Harry appears to be wearing quite a lot of grey since he's been married to Meghan Markle.
Yeah.
So suggesting that perhaps she said, you look good in this, and he's gone, all right, I'll just wear grey.
Well, I think that's okay, isn't it?
Are you saying that she's the type that is quite domineering or dominating?
No,
or,
I don't
just
think
a man
he was.
Asking a question.
I don't think he was.
Is she an influencer? That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think if you listen, the woman that you love tells you that you look good in something, you go, all right, I'll wear that. I'll wear that. Because let's be fair, we're blokes. Question. We don't have a clue.
Oh, yeah, got
a
clue.
We do not have a clue.
Just get this is what I thrown together. You know, and literally thrown together.
My mate said to me, if there was a shop that was called Jeans Size 34 Regular, he would go there. And he wouldn't even have to try them on. He'd just pick a couple off the rails and go, I'll have those two. I never have to shop again. And that, I think men don't want to think about this stuff. I mean, I think men of your generation, Paris, probably think about this. Well,
big
you can
time.
See. I mean, I'm surprised you wear a dinner jacket for like a morning show. But you know what? If you want to dress formally, that's absolutely fine.
It's the private school in the
it is,
the
yeah,
school.
That's what it is. But... I think if Meghan Markle gives you advice and you love Meghan Markle,
I'm just
why not?
A man asking a question.
Well, that's the answer.
You know, it's the appearance that you, the perception is that you get is that she is an influencer.
And that's fair enough.
Not negatively.
I don't have a problem with that.
He looks all right. I think grey suits him.
Well, I like a fair bit of grey. You going now, Paris? You done?
He's just walked off, hasn't
all
he?
All right, that's it, is it?
He just walked off.
All right, he did.
What's going on?
He did. He looks good this morning, though, don't you think?
Yeah,
he's well dressed.
He does a bit. Slick back hair works, doesn't it? And that little moustache that
it's
he's got.
It's sort of Noel Coward-esque
it
thing.
It is. I think the moustache is penciled in, though.
well, he can't grow one. He's only 21.
No, he can't, that's why.
He can't. If he was in a boat for 4 weeks, he'd come out looking pretty much as clean-shaven as when he went in.
This is Love Sport.
Now, Chelsea got through to the Europa League final last night, albeit on penalties, but they got there in the end. 1-1 draw with Eintracht Frankfurt to go with a 1-1 draw they got over in Germany. Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea were only a couple of spot kicks from suffering a shock semi-final exit, though. And the manager admitted he was too nervous to watch both of Kepa's penalty saves.
Oh, to be honest, I didn't look at the last two penalties. So I didn't know if Kepa saved very well or not.
Now, we're joined now by the former Chelsea defender, David Lee. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, a nervous game last night. How did Chelsea play?
Yeah, I think they tired at the end of the extra time. I think they rode their luck a little bit in extra time. They played all right second half. I didn't think they played as well as they have played this season. But I just thought they rode their luck in the extra time. But, you know, penalty shootout is a lottery and I honestly thought when Azpilicueta missed, it was going to be one of them nights where they were going to go out. But thankfully, the keeper's come out with two saves and they've got three.
You know, Dave, I was watching it. I mean, this time, you know, yesterday morning, I was saying, you know, we were talking about the games and you know, Chelsea should go for it. And I'm like, no, this is a difficult game. They drew one all over there. It wasn't easy, although Chelsea played well. What I saw yesterday was they didn't start at a quick pace. It was really muted. Even the fans, you didn't really hear the fans. It wasn't like an excited atmosphere that drove the team on. Even the fans seemed not quite sure or somewhat tense about what was going on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still think that that's a lot to do with the Sarri factor. I still think a lot of fans aren't happy with, you know, the way they play. It was never going to be easy. You know, they've been a bit of a surprise package this year in the Europa League. And I'm just thankful they got through in the end, to be honest.
And what about Ruben Loftus-Cheek? I mean, taking him off when everyone is, you know, they love him down there. And it's sort of surprising, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's had a few injuries, hasn't he? And he's probably thought, well, you know, I'll take him off. Right, if he gets injured, you know, we're going to miss him. Not long left of the season. But he's one of them, I think, you know, the more games he plays now, the better he's going to be. And I think he's finally going to be a regular, hopefully, next season now. You know, he's proved to a lot of people that, you know, he is worthy of a place in the starting 11 every week now. And just hope that he stays injury-free and has a good season next season.
Dave, you were just saying about the fans not sure with Sarri. If they win the final and beat Leicester and finish third, surely that's a decent season, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he got to the final of the League Cup as well. It's his first season. I mean, not many people would come in and be as good as that. But I just think that the style, I think a lot of the fans are a little bit concerned about the style of football.
Hate it, I think, is the word you're looking for, David. I hate it. I mean, I'm just talking about my Chelsea mates, but they just can't stand it.
No, I know. Yeah, hate's a better word. Better coming from you than me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, all right. So, look, it is very possible that Eden Hazard's going to be leaving. May have played his last game at the Bridge. Glenn Hoddle was on BT Sport over the last few nights. Said the transfer ban. Well, he was talking about the transfer ban, saying it may force Chelsea to keep him, but it may also mean that the young players come through. How do you see that going?
Well, firstly, with the Hazard one, I'm not sure they'll force him to stay. With the kids that have been out on loan, a few of them have done well. It'll be an opportunity for them to bring them back, and they have no other choice but to play them. You know, you'll see if they're good enough. You know, a lot of people are talking about Tammy Abrams being the answer. You know, I watched him a lot when he was at Swansea, and he wasn't brilliant at Swansea.
He looks good sometimes, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's had another season at Villa. He scored a lot of goals. But then, you know, with all due respect to Swansea, if he's playing at Chelsea, he will be playing with better players and he might get more chances. You know, they're talking to a few others like Mason Mount and Tomori at Derby who've had good seasons. But it depends on Surrey, really, you know, if he wants to blood them or if he's just going to go with the experience instead.
Dave, I've got to ask, I mean, you're that rare species, the homegrown player that's come through and played for the first team. And, the spotlight, because of the lack of players, is going to be on these young players who really just want to go under the radar. It's going to be slightly different for them than it is for any other club's young players because of that. Because all of a sudden, they're going to be looked at. They're going to be scrutinised far more than, you know, a Man United kid or an Arsenal kid just because Chelsea don't produce them or give them the opportunities that normal clubs do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fans will realise next year if there is the ban, if the ban is, you know, definitely going to go ahead and they can't buy anyone and they have to start playing some of the home games, I think they'll give them a little bit of leeway if it's not going great next year. You know, if they're not challenging for the title or if they're knocked out of Europe early, I think the fans will understand. If they've got three or four home games in there next year, I think they'll give them a little more time than they would if the ban hadn't have come into operation.
Yeah. I think they probably will. Thanks, David. Nice to speak to you.
No problem at all.
See you soon. David Lee there, former Chelsea defender, talking about Chelsea, who got through to the Europa League final last night. I mean, it is, with the Chelsea fans I know, they want to see, in fact, like most fans, they want to see the kids come through because it gives you something, particularly an English kid, right? It's nothing to do with xenophobia.
No,
this is
purely...
I remember when Theo Walcott first came to Arsenal and the encouragement that he got. And I feel like Hudson-Odoi gets the same sort of treatment. It's a shame they're going to miss him for the first 6 months of the season. But that's what they want. You get 2, 3, 4 of them in there, homegrown talent.
It buys you time.
It makes a huge difference.
It buys you time. I mean, it's weird, though, because I look at Chelsea and we spoke a lot about entitlement and managing expectation. They finished third. They win the Europa. They lost in the final of the League Cup. That's a decent season when you consider how they started it.
And like I say,
and it's still not enough.
Well, it's not. And yet my mates have said to me they hate watching the football.
Yeah.
Hate watching the football. So, you know, what can you say? It doesn't... I mean, I guess you could say the end justifies the means.
But Sarri will say, why do I need to change? Think I'm actually successful. Playing the way I'm playing is successful.
Why do you need to change if there are... 5,000 disaffected fans like my mate,
and that's when it's
who just
happen.
Go, don't go down. I'm not going down there. Yep. I'm not going to renew my season ticket because I hate the way they're playing. A little bit what happened to Mourinho. If Mourinho was playing amazing flowing football, but they were losing quite a few games like they were, the fans would have stayed with them. But the fact that the football was so prosaic and they weren't getting results, that's what did for him at the end.
But you know that Sarri is stubborn. You've seen it with Jorginho. I'm playing him. I don't care.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter whether Sarri is stubborn or not. In the end, Chelsea have some issues because they've got an absentee owner.
Yeah.
Hasn't been to a single game or hasn't been to a single home game this season, as far as I can tell.
But no, what I mean with Sarri is it's going to force the owners into making a decision.
Yeah, it will.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it will.
Because his stubbornness, his lack of ability to bend or just change a little bit and appease the fans, because I don't think he's going to do that. I think, you know, he was going to play how he's going to play because that is all he knows.
Listen, if they finish third behind Liverpool and Man City and they get to two cup finals and possibly win one of them, That seems to me like a good season, but like I say, not all enough. I've heard from my mate Simon is moaning.
It's the truth, it's not enough.
I wasn't going to name him there, but he's such a moaner. He has a Chelsea mate, he has a little sort of group chat thing, which is just Chelsea fans moaning. And you know what? I'm sure it's funny because, you know, I did a whole podcast based around moaning, so it's okay.
But they do it.
But we do moan, of course we do, because we want everything. And let's be fair, Chelsea fans have had everything in the past. So this is not what they were hoping for.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, I suppose, listen, the things that we've been talking about this morning, the dominance of the Premier League.
Yeah.
But as you say, it could have all very easily gone the other way.
Most definitely.
And there could have been three. Barcelona could be playing Ajax in the in the Champions League final, and Arsenal could be playing Eintracht.
In fact, for a long period in both games, it looked like that was going to be the case. And, it just didn't happen. And fine lines, fine margins, irrespective of the millions of pounds of money that's been spent, especially in the Premier League, could have gone the other way.
Now, Paris has come in for the last few minutes of the show. Hello, Paris. Good morning.
Hello, Ian.
Hello.
Would you like to hazard a guess of which place in the UK is the most unhealthy?
The most unhealthy?
The most unhealthy, or the unhealthiest.
It's. I reckon it's up north.
Yeah, me too.
Are we right about that? Can we narrow it down?
I know the name of the place.
Oh, right. Okay, is it Newark?
Darlington.
No, Knowsley.
Knowsley. Knowsley, which is...
Liverpool Way?
Cheshire, is it?
Cheshire Way, is it?
You know what?
Yeah, it's somewhere there.
Kieran's having a look. We'll find out in a minute.
Knowsley
is the most most unhealthy place. And what is it about? Why is it so unhealthy?
Well, it's got the highest number of sick notes.
Oh, in terms of people going to work and not going in.
So that highest number of sick notes. You've got Knowsley's number one. Number two, Halton. Then Wakefield. Fourth, Sunderland.
Sunderland, right.
Fifth, Corby.
Yeah, I mean, these are all depressed places. It's in Leicestershire, by the way, Knowsley. These are all depressed, poor places. That's what's going on there. So people are suffering. They're not getting decent nutrition. They're not as healthy as they could be. I mean, it's sad, isn't it, really?
See, sick often can be mental health as well. It's not just I feel ill. It's there's so many other things that could put together a sick note.
This is not gone the way you were expecting it to.
No, it wasn't.
No,
but anyway,
we thought we were talking about fat children or something like that. No,
may I just say, talking about sick notes, did you read about the Dutch player that put a sick note in to go and watch
Ajax versus
Spurs? Said that and the club, I think they terminated his contract.
He's been sacked.
Yeah,
he's been
sacked. Because he was spotted at the game.
I think he went on WhatsApp or social media, and it blew up
at the game. And they went, well, "Hang on, you just told us you were sick, and you travelled to London to watch this game."
I mean, there are cameras everywhere. There's a very famous Laurel and Hardy film from years ago where they tell their wives they're not very well, and they want to go to one of these like Masons, only it's a different thing, and they get spotted on the march. And you think, I can't believe that you think you can get away with that stuff. Really?
Brilliant. Absolutely
anyway,
brilliant.
The endless stupidity of men is a source of constant amusement to us. What else you got, Paris?
Well, I'll move on very quickly from that. now, of course, this week, huge comebacks for both Spurs and Liverpool, but they might have just been outdone. A footy team that had to win by 10 clear goals to land the title beat their opponents 20-2.
Oh, just about made it.
Just
then.
About made it. Murfield Town were level on points with title rivals Linthwaite, but had an inferior goal difference.
And but then they won 22.
22.
Yeah, there's some sort of skullduggery
going on. Are these kids' teams or adults' teams?
Adults' team.
Wow.
Adults' team.
There's some sort of skullduggery. 22.
No,
they got the number exactly right. It wasn't
They were.
By how many goals? They 22.
They need to get 10 goals. To clinch.
Yeah.
Oh, they made it. Is it Malaysian betting syndicates?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Something's not right there, mate.
It usually is. Yeah. Well, I mean, those football games, I played in a game once where we lost 19-0.
Oh, you didn't play, did you?
No.
You just ran about.
Barely
did you
played.
Get a touch?
Not really, no. I got a couple as I was picking the ball out of the net. And the goalkeeper said, I'm not even getting it. I'm not even getting up.
19-0.
19-0 was a bad day. It's a bad day. So it happens on occasion.
It happens on occasion, but they have now won the West Yorkshire Heavy Woolen Sunday League Premier Division.
Heavy Woolen.
Heavy Woolen.
What's that?
Do they have like particularly heavy shirts when it rains? Can they barely run about? That is a ridiculous thing. Heavy Woolen Sunday League.
Yeah, the West Yorkshire one, though.
Yeah.
suggesting there are Heavy Woolen Sunday League divisions in other counties.
In other parts of Yorkshire.
Perhaps
East,
yeah.
North and South of Yorkshire.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
What a great name for a league. Okay. Well, you know the standard ain't that good. At least there's a big difference between top and bottom, isn't there?
Well, it doesn't necessarily even play in the bottom team. They're playing a team and they've scored 20 goals.
That's a ridiculous score.
Okay. 20 goals.
You know, on the video printer, that would come up with the word 20, wouldn't it? Because people would go, 20? And then they put it up as a word and go, oh, yeah, 20. They did it with 7. 7 was the minimum. 6, and we go, okay, 6, we'll take that. What else you got, Paris?
Now, London's Royal Academy of Arts opened up the Academy of Arts to an interesting tour. They allowed naturists to just go in. They kind of, you could take your clothes off and then just walk around looking at the art, looking at the sculptures.
Well, I don't get it. Do you get it? I don't.
No.
It's naturism.
Are you there to try and compare things with the statues? Are you?
It's Michelangelo's David or something. You pop in and have a look. I think you measure up quite nicely, Harold. Thank you, dear. Something like that.
Something along those lines. Yeah.
I mean, it's. I just find naturism weird.
No, it's not for me.
It's not for me not either. For me, I
mate.
Do find it a bit odd, but some people like it.
People want to do that. I'm not sitting on the chair next to them or after them.
I did actually when I went to India. I was talking about going to India, and I went. I was on a beach in Goa, and they had some people who came down from the. There's an ashram up the road, right? They followed the Bhagwani guy who was up there, right? Who did preach a bit of free sex and all the rest of it. And this woman came down. And she was in the nude, and she sat opposite me in the nude. And it's very difficult to have a conversation with someone when they're, you know, because I'm not in the nude, and I'm sat opposite her in the nude. She's chatting away about something or other, and I'm thinking, you haven't got any clothes on. It's a bit odd. I'm trying not to look at you, but I am. It was odd. The whole thing was a bit strange.
You look.
Well, you know, it was there in front of me.
You look.
It was there. Look at these. That. I found it very, very off-putting. I did.
I mean, of all the places to do it as well, inside, like, what is, in essence, a museum.
An art gallery.
Yeah. An art gallery.
Very strange.
Not the warmest of places. It's a bit drafty.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, right.
I mean, it might not reflect particularly well on you.
Why is the air conditioning so low in here? It's not helping at all. Yeah, you're right. I just find the whole thing a bit odd. I mean, you want to wipe down the sofas after people have sat on them.
I'm telling you, mate. That's the thing for me.
I find it very, very odd, naturism. I'm not really... I'm not keen.
Not keen.
I'm not keen.
I'll take back your application to the
Society. And I'll put my clothes back on. Now I'm leaving the studio. Love Sport. Thanks for listening to the Ian Stone Comedy Breakfast Podcast Edition. I'm back every weekday morning, 6:30.